Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I invite you to turn in the Bible, if you would like to page 8980, as we hear these words of Paul to the Church of Rome. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of God, and the people of God said. I'm not sure that we want to be thankful for this one when we hear the words that sufferings produce endurance. Who said anything about suffering? Who wants to suffer? Endurance produces character. We don't want to endure, and we want our hope without necessarily having to develop the character that comes. This is a Sunday that combines a lot of different elements. I'm not going to pretend to be able to explain the Trinity to you. I would be amiss. We affirm that we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if we go too much further than that, we find ourselves coming flat up against the mystery of God. The truth is that you and I, no matter how educated, no matter how extensive and elaborate our vocabulary, no matter how much we seek to understand and articulate the mystery of God, our words and our ideas and even our minds will fall short. We do not have the capacity as human beings to plumb the depths of who God is. We have got to stand before God, as we said in our earliest prayer of the service, before God's mystery, the mystery of God, divine mystery. And you say, well, mysteries are to be solved, but mysteries not necessarily can be solved. And this is one of them that has got to remain. For God to be God, for God to embrace all that we think of in that word and even more, God must retain God's mystery. And we can see that in other things that we think about, especially on this Sunday. The other designation for this Sunday is Peace with Justice Sunday. Now you're saying to me, who designated that? Well, that's one of the special Sundays of the United Methodist Church. And sometimes we recognize and acknowledge them. Today we acknowledge them in the sense that we have to understand that another mystery is present to us in our lives with peace and justice. Because each and every one of us wants peace. But we also do not want peace without some sense of fairness and justice. One time I heard somebody say, peace without justice is something like intolerable, it's chaos, and justice without peace is misery and cruelty. It's a mystery that you cannot have one without the other. It is something that we strive for and articulate our desire that somehow we can have peaceful lives, peaceful nations, as well as fair treatment, as well as people taking care of each other rather than people oppressing each other, where people are held accountable and governments and organizations are held accountable for their abuse of the environment, of other nations, and of their people. And where people who have suffered may receive some sort of solace and comfort. And yet we know sometimes that we get so tired of striving against those forces that we just want a peace that lets things be still, lets our hearts rest and our minds become a little easier. Peace and justice, the mystery of God. Where else could we find the two wedded and joined together? And where else will we find its true solution but in God? Next week, as we celebrate our graduates of this year and the other accomplishments of our young people, we will talk about knowledge and vital piety. For so many people, you can either be a person who thinks or a person who has faith. But nowhere in the Christian tradition are we allowed to separate the two, because we are both people of the mind and people of the heart. We can't be one or the other because we simply are not made that way. And so how does our intelligence and our curiosity and our inquiring minds find their rest and peace in our need for love and our desire to be light with joy and peace? Can we be a people who trust in God and also find our ability to ask questions and deal with answers and speak about what we know and what we don't know? Knowledge and vital piety, a place of mystery, a place of uncertainty, a place that dwells in us and yet does not find its answer in either end. Indeed, when we see this table set with physical things, bread and juice, and we come as a people in flesh, hearts and minds, thirsting for peace and thirsting for justice. And somehow we believe that in this meal, as we pray together, sing together, worship together, that somehow Christ, our Redeemer, Christ, our Sustainer, Christ, who's our all, is present in the bread and the juice. There's no factual evidence that we can give that would prove it. And yet there's none that we could give that prove it isn't so. Mystery. One of the ways in which we can live into the 21st century in powerful trust of who God is and what God calls us to be is to accept that God always will be something of the divine mystery. And that the only way that we can experience the wonders of God's grace and the explosion and power of God's Holy Spirit come upon a new and making new people and renewing people and making us anew, the only way that we can do this and experience this is to live in God's mystery in trust, confidence, and faith. I cannot explain the Trinity so that your mind will understand it, because my mind has not fully comprehended the reality itself. We have to journey together, you and I, in order to discover the God that is the divine mystery. I cannot appeal to your mind without also appealing to your heart. nor can I live any differently myself. But I must walk, and you and I must walk together, learning and experiencing together the divine mystery. As well, with peace and justice, we'll find ourselves thirsting for a real peace and real justice, and finding that they are somehow interwoven with the love of God, who did not count it as something to be held, hold on to, his equality with God, but gave it up so that he could become for us our sacrifice. Peace and justice is a far, far different thing when we remember that the peace we have with God that we found in Romans 5, the peace we have with God does not come by our own work, by our own understanding, by our own capacity, but comes as a gift of God. So often when we speak of God, we want to speak of God that in ways that limit God. But it is only when we speak of God's love and God's gift and God's divine purpose that we should be saved and made whole. We discover a mystery that is so wondrous and so beautiful. And what kind of justice have we received, you and I, who are so deserving of punishment for our sins, receiving none because of the sacrifice of Christ? Peace and justice look different from the Christian's point of view, because peace and justice in Christ was won not by the achievements of one, but by the sacrifice and love of one. And there is a mystery that challenges our whole world, that challenges the forces of evil around us, and challenges the impulses of selfishness within us, that we find God not in strength, but in the weakness that we experience in our abilities to explain, understand, and speak about God. We are a people of faith. We are a people who seek God in mystery, not as some problem to be solved, but as a future to be lived, a life to grow into, a joy to be embraced. I invite you to dwell in that mystery as we come to this meal of great faith and great power. Let peace and justice be your desire, and let the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, mystery beyond our capacity to understand, minister to you, feed you, slake your thirst, and strengthen you for the living of the days ahead of us. Come to the mystery of God. Amen.